Shavua Tov, today's daf in the Sechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kedesh, is daf Mem Chet, boy Rav Papa. So, the next, we had a number of questions that Rav Papa wanted to know about the way in which we interrelate, the way in which we do the Kemetz on a Mincha and the idea of the equivalent thing, a very similar thing, which is the Molei Chofnov, and that's Chafina of the Keteres. So, there were a number of issues that Rav Papa had raised. And once we're talking about those issues, which were the modality of how we do the actuality of the Chafina, we have some other additional questions that have to do with what happens after you do the Kemetz, what happens after you do the Chafina. So one thing that Rav Papa wants to know is what would be the din about the Kemetz of a Mincha? And remember, the Kemetz of the Mincha, after you do the Kemitza with your hands, you have to then put it into a Kli in order to give it to Kedushas HaGuf for the Mincha. So suppose you took the Kemetz, and instead of putting it into the Kli, you wetted it, and you stuck, or the Mincha anyway is wet with the oil and so on. So you stuck it around the inside of the Kli, but you didn't put it into the Kli. Would that be considered putting it into a Kli? So Dafke le Kemetz b'dafnei ha'dimana, suppose you stuck the Kemetz on around the edges of the Kli, my. Is that called, is that toch kli? Well, it's definitely inside of the kli, and that you have. So if that's all that I need, if toch kli be'inan ha'ika, or do I need hanacha bitocho be'inan ha'aleka, or do I need that it should be sitting inside of it and not simply be within its airspace? So, don't know. Take. Boy marba ravashi. Another question that I have would be, what if you took a kli, turned it upside down, and then you would have the Kemetz into, it was actually on the inside of the Kli. But, I mean, the question would be, is that called normal Hanacha? I mean, it is Hanacha inside of it, because it's on the bottom of the Kli. Or do we need Hanacha Ketikuno, normal Hanacha? Leka, Teku. Boy of Papa. Now getting back to the Chafina. I'm not quite sure how much you're supposed to have in your chafina. Is the chafina supposed to be like flat along the top of your hands, literally, as if you had actually been mochik it with like a, you know, a ruler or something? Or is it supposed to maybe be sticking up above your hands or something? So is it mechukot or gedushot? Omle rebabla ravashi? Well, take a look at the braita, actually, Tashma. Malochofnav sha'amru, when we say malochofnav, it's actually neither. It is neither mechukot nor gedushot. It's tefufot. Tefufot means it's like rounded up so that it's tall on top, but it comes down around the sides. So it doesn't stick out all over. And it's not like completely flat, which is what we would expect, where we don't really have an opportunity to do a mechika. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. Now, before we can get into Rav Papa's next question, we have to give a little bit of an introduction from a Mishnah. So, Tanan Hatam. Now, we do have a Mishnah in Zvachim, and the question over there was, what would be the din if the blood spilled directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor before you had a chance to be mekabel the dam in a kli? And the halacha over there is that is definitely, if you collect it off of the floor where it never got into a kli, it's possible. If it was first mekubal in the kli, so then already you were yotzi the chiv of kabbalah, and then it spilled from the kli onto the floor, and then you get some of it up in order to be able to do the zrika, that actually is kosher. So, minani mile. So, what exactly is the makar, first of all? Now, again, all of this is part of the introduction. It's not really part of our sugya directly. The Tana Rabbana. Vilakach, so the Torah says over here that Vilakach HaKohen HaMashiach, this is referring to the case of the Chatas that's brought by a Kohen Mashiach, which is the actual, it's a special carbon. Remember, that's brought Lifnim. But anyway, it says over there, And we learn out from there the dinim of the Kabbalah Satam. So it says, Midam Apar, first of all, it has to be the dam of the actual par, meaning something that is part of the life force of the par. And that means it's Midam HaNefesh, it's the spurting blood, not blood that is dripping from the skin, or Dam HaTamtzit, it's blood that is inside of the animal after its main arterial blood is gone. It has to be the Dam HaPar. Furthermore, Midam HaPar, we actually flip the way we read it. Instead of reading it, Mi Dam HaPar, we take the mem off of the word dam and we add it to the hapar to read dam me hapar. And this is one of the ways that we have a right to be dorish psukim. It's called gorinu mosifim v'dorshin, as we'll see. But of course, you can only do that when there's something telling you that the way that it's written is unacceptable. So I'll tell you why it's unacceptable, because Isaac dat mi dam hapar. We're going to read the pasuk the way that it's written. Then what is the implication of mi dam hapar? Mi dam hapar would mean some of the dam of the par. So you're supposed to be taking some of the dam, right? That's what you would read it b'pshuto, afilo miktsata dam. The problem is that there's another pasuk that says that that is wrong. And that actually, Amar Rav Yehuda, we're derish from the pasuk, ha-mekabel, Tzorich shekabel et kol damo shel par. You have to actually be mekabel all of the blood, because it says et kol dam hapar yishpoch el yesod hamizbeach. So, okay, if that's the idea, it can't mean mi dam. Therefore, the only way to understand the pasuk properly is dam mi hapar. So read mi dam hapar is dam mi hapar mekableno. And, of course, this Tana is darshaning on the basis of the concept of gorin umosifin vidorshin. So this is one of the ideas of how it is that we're allowed to be dorish the lashon in lashon hakodesh. Now that we have this introduction clear, let me explain to you what it is that I'm not clear about, says Rav Papa. So I would like to know, in the equivalent case where the keteres falls out of his hands. So the Kohen is walking in, he stumbles, and it falls out of his hands. Can you collect it up out of his hands? How do we look at that? Do we look at it as it's in the equivalent of a kli, or do we look at it as no, it hasn't been put into a kli, and that the keteret in the hands of the Kohen Gadol are the equivalent of the dam in the neck of the animal? So that's my question. If we view the Yadov kiktsavar habehema, so then obviously it would be possible, because it means that it fell directly from the neck of the animal onto the floor. Or we should look at it, I mean, in this case, his hands is basically what is the way that we were meant to bring it in. I mean, the only reason we needed to have it in the kaf was logistic, right? Because the pasuk was mashma that he's supposed to take melochof nav vehevi. The only reason that we don't do melochof nav vehevi is because there's no way for me to balance the machate and the actual chafina. If it's in his hands, I can't carry both of those. And so, okay, so we see, fine. So you put it in the kaf. But that would mean that essentially his hands are the last stop. As far as the Torah would be concerned, if there were a way that we could somehow get the machate in, then his hands would be the last stop before the actual putting it on the kol, in which case his hands are the equivalent of the klishoret. And then the fact that it fell out of his hands is no different than the dam falling out of the klishoret that we used to be mekabel the dam. And it should be okay if we gather it together from the floor. What's the din? Teku. That question of Papa stands. By Rav Papa, I had another question. Is the act of chafina, is it considered to be the equivalent of the avoda? Now, we've been talking about this din all along of the komets. Now, we know that the komets of a mincha is the equivalent of the act of shchita of a behemah. We learned that out from the psukim that tell us that the dinim that we learned out from Shlamim are true about the mincha as well. So it says beferish ula mincha. Doesn't say anything about the Ketores. So now the question is, I mean, remember there's a big difference because in the komets, when we do the komets, we take the komets, we put it on the Mizbeach, such that the komets is that which is the full equivalent of a shechita. It gives us the blood, so to speak, which is the solat or whatever the mincha is that is being held in his hands. And then we put that blood, so to speak, as the solat, onto the Mizbeach, which is the equivalent of the actual, the haktorah of the behemah, or the haktorah of the dam, the zrika of the dam. So the question is, I mean, is chafina like that? Chafina really it doesn't have the same parts to it. It's no, nowhere does it say that the chafina is the equivalent of an act of shechita or anything like that. So the only question, I mean, why would I say that it is because since we have that gezerah shava of the meloch umtzo with the meloch of nav that we darshan, so do we say that? Mi aminan yolif melo melo mimincha, to the extent that we should say mahatam, mahanya b'machshava. So if you have a machshava of chutz lizmano, let's say, right? Or chutz l'mikoma, what would be the din? Of course, it would pasul, exactly the same way that it would pasul b'shchita. So then, if that's true about melokum tso, so then, achiname mahanya b'machshava for meloch of nav. Or do we not make the gzeirah shava in that? Because after all, you have to tell me what the halacha is. Is it considered to be an aveda or not? Omer le Rav Shimi Barashi le Rav Papa Tashma. I think I could bring you a raya from a Mishnah. And this Mishnah is talking about the din that is called Hakli Mitzaref Ma Shebitocho. So let's say that we have something that is made out of little pieces. Solet, for instance, is made out of countless tiny pieces of the heart of the flower. Or ketoret, made out of millions of tiny grains of ketoret. Now, normally I would say, if I have a pile of ketoret, somebody whose tummy touches the pile of ketoret, does the pile of ketoret become tummy? Of course not. I mean, the few grains that were in direct touch with this guy, yes, they would become tummy, but there would be no way that we could continue to make everything else tummy. I mean, the furthest you could go is the fourth grain away, right? Revi b'kodesh could become puzzle. There's no way to make the entire pile puzzle. But what happens if there's a plate full, a cup full, and it's got ketores in? So that's called hakli mitzaref masha betocho. This is a mission idiot. Yeah, of course, the sugya and chagiga as well. And the kli mitzaref masha betocho tells me that anything that's made out of pieces, like the solet or the ketoret or the lavona or the gecholim, where normally we wouldn't be able to be metame from one piece to the next, if it's in a kli, if the tfuyom is nogea b'miktzatam, so then he passels everything in that kli, as if it was all one piece. Now, our assumption was that if that's true, and a psul of Tful Yom will be able to passel the ketoret, it says over here, then it is normally we read that anything that is passel from Kedushas Kli is passel not only as a Tful Yom, but it always goes together with Lina. So it's Nifsa b'Tful Yom, and it's also passel Nami Lina. Now, Lina means that if the ketoret would be held overnight, so it would become pasul. But if lina is pasul, then virtual lina, which is the machshava that I'm going to bring it tomorrow, should also be pasul. Now, the truth is that there's an awful lot of assumptions over here, and none of these necessarily hold true. And the Gemara in other places where we make these kind of assumptions points out that it's not true. The Gemara over here is the Tosef Shishanim explains, did not feel that it was important to necessarily go through the whole, well, who says? So it makes you aware of the fact that who says by using the word salka daitach, we thought to say, and then you understand yourself that there's reasons for our not to say what we thought to say. And in fact, this doesn't really prove anything. Boy, Rav Papa, and my next question is, says Rav Papa. Now, the truth is there's a whole gear set that you could see brought on the side that puts together the two questions of Rav Papa into one question, as if it's first let's decide this, and let's decide this. Okay, I mean, it boils down to the same basic issue, so we can just read it the way we have it. How about if the Kohen Gadol, during the time that he's getting the coal in order to burn the Ketores, what would be that din? Is machshire mitzvah a mitzvah damo or not? So obviously I need to first do that shoveling up, right? Otherwise I'm not going to be able to bring the Ketores. But I mean, it says he has to do it. It says he has to take meloa machta gachleyesh. Now, the fact is, of course, that the Gachlei Esh themselves are not the Karban. The Gachlei Esh are what make it possible to bring the Karban. So that's called Machshirei Mitzvah. Do we view Machshirei Mitzvah as being innately part of the Mitzvah and thereby having the same types of constraints that the actual Mitzvah would have? Such that if it's possible to make the Ketores possible with a Machshava of Chutz L'Bikomo, I mean, of Chutz L'Zmano, which is virtual Lina, could I actually do that by having that same machshava on the shoveling, just of the Gicholim, not of the Ketores, because that is part of what's going to make the Ketores possible. Okay. The other approach that Rashi raises as a possibility here, which is a lot more difficult, is maybe it's possible to actually passel the Gecholim for use by having a machshava of Chutz L'Zmanoi on the actual shoveling. So let's say he goes ahead and he collects all of his Gecholim, saying, okay, I'm going to use these Gecholim for Keteris that I bring tomorrow. And then he does the actual Melocha Fdav, the Chafina, he does properly without a machshava of Chutz L'Zmanoi. Would these Gecholim be kosher to use for the Ketores today? So is it shayach to have a psul of a virtual lina on something that's only machshirei mitzvah? Again, teiku. Boimine Rav Sheshes. So there's another issue that relates to the things that we've been asking, as we'll see, because in the end, it brings a raya from the way that we do the bringing in of the chafina and the bringing in of the machta. But this is very tangential. So they asked Rav Sheshes, what's the din of carrying the dam of a korban, nothing to do with Yom Kippur, carrying the dam of a regular korban to the Mizbeach with your left hand? Is it going to be puzzle? Well, I mean, we know we're supposed to do all of the avodas with the right hand. Would it actually puzzle it or not? So where it says a lashon of either etzpa or kuhuna, there we have a marker to learn out called marker b'shama etzpa kuhuna, eno ela b'yamin. And since it's repeated, it would be ma'akev. Nowhere does it use the lashon for holacha of etzpa and kuhuna. So the question is there a din on holacha as well that it would become nifsal if you used your left hand? That's my question. So we attempted to answer it. Rav Sheshes thought he had an answer. Rav Sheshes says, look, if you take a look at the sugya in Yuma, it says in the Mishnah, in Yuma, natal et ha-machate b'yemino v'takaf b'smolo. He carries the machate in his right hand, and he carries the kaf of the ketores in his left hand. Now, if carrying was puzzle, so then how could he carry the Ketores in his left hand? So obviously, it doesn't pasul holacha to use a left hand. That's a funny place to bring a raya from the Ketores. He could have brought a raya from an actual din in Tamid about the korban, about the actual korban of the behema. Why did we have to go to bring a raya from the Ketoret? V'nifshet lo mihadetnan. What about the Mishnah we mentioned so many times before, ha-regel she-yamin b'smol, and the Beit Torah l'chutz. So the Kohen, one of the 13 Kohanim that works on the Tamid, carries the right leg of the behema in his left hand when he's bringing it up to the Kevesh. That's halacha to the Mizbeach. It says over there he could do it. So you could bring a raya from there, can't you? No. Because imi hatam, hava mina hani mila yalokad lomak v'kapora. If you would bring it from there, I would say, look, let me ask you something. Suppose you didn't bother bringing up the Evorim at all. Would it have made a difference? No. Because the only thing that's ma'akiv the kapora is the avodas hadam. If afterwards something happens to the Evorim and you don't even bring them up at all, it's not going to passel. So how could you think that the halacha of the Evorim is going to passel if the Evorim themselves don't passel? So that's because it's a halacha of something that is not ma'akiv kapora. So if it's not ma'akiv kapora, it doesn't matter how I do it. Masha inkein, the halacha of the dam, that's what I was asking about. And that's why Rav Shesha said, oh, the halacha of the dam, that's the equivalent of the halacha of the etzem keteres. Okay, so I'll bring you a raya from the Mishnah in Yoma about the keteres. And the din is, you take the kaf keteres and your molochit b'small. So there is your answer. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. It says beferish in a brighton, not like Rav Sheshes. It says zar, or an onen, or a shikr, or a balmum. All of these are kohanim psulim in that state, or they're literally not kohanim, and they pasul kabbalah, holocha, and zrika. Pasul. And then it throws in, oh, by the way, the same thing would be true if the kohen is sitting or using his left hand. And what the heck? So how can Rav Sheshes argue because of some diuk from the Keteres, which is obviously not the same as the Dam? So how could he argue on a Beferish Braita? Says Gemara, you're right. To Yufta. That is absolutely to Yufta. The halacha of the Keteres is indeed, as it says in Menachos, that the Torah was matir totally small on Yom Kippur. Fine. That's special halacha. Okay, says Gemara, wait a second. Hold on a minute over here. Rav Sheshes missed that? For heaven's sakes, Rav Sheshes is known to have actually brought a raya from that brisa against Rav Chista Zamora. He himself brought that raya. How could he possibly have missed that over here? I don't understand. There was the maisa where Rav Sheshes himself was otfa. He asked it from this brisa because Rav Sheshes once said to Rav Chista Zamora, the one who was always saying over the shiurim from Rav Chista, he said, do me a favor, ask Rav Chista, what would be the din if a czar does holocha? Omar Leis, so Rav Chista answered, he said, that would be kosher. Because it doesn't say anywhere the Lashon of HaKohen by holocha. I'll bring you right from a pasuk, said Rav Chista. Vayishchatu ha-pasach. Oh my God. So it says, the Kohanim were Zorek the Dam from the hands of the Sheikhtim, which must mean that after the Kohanim did the Kabbalah, they gave it back to the Sheikhtim, and then the Sheikhtim brought the Dam to the Kohanim, because it says, Vayizraku HaKohanim Miyadam. So you see clearly that the Sheikhtim could be Zorim, right? The Kohanim only take over after Shlita. So you see from here that if the czar brought the dam to the Kohen, which is Holocha, it would be okay. That's my raya. Rav Sheshes hears this raya, and he says, I disagree. Moshe Rav Sheshes, and then he quoted the very brisa that we just used to show that he was wrong. So how in the world, if he was the one that actually knew this brisa, how did he miss it? Moshe Rav Sheshes from the brisa that we just had. Zar, Onen, Shikor, Balmum, Bekabola, Baolocha, Bezrika, and his posel, and the same is true if he's Yoshev or small, that he's posel. So how come he knew it then, he doesn't know it now? Well, how come? Everybody has that. There's one point in your life you don't know something, and then there's one point in your life when you do know something. So Rav Chista, after we smacked him down with it, and he got to the Tiyufta that we just read, believe me, he was smarting from that Tiyufta. So the next time somebody pulled it on him, he had this Braita ready to pull on them. That's what happened. So Bata Deshama, after he heard that we asked it on him as a Tiyufta, Hadar Otvas, then he used it to show that the Amora, to told the Amora, Rav Chista's Pshat is wrong. How could Rav Chista's Pshat be wrong if he brought a Pasuk? I understand. Well, Rav Chista Kroka Amar, he said, I'm going to prove it to you from a Pasuk, and he brings a Pasuk. What does it say in the Pasuk? It says that the Kohanim took it from the hands of the Tzar, right? It never says that the Tzar brought it to the Kohen. So what it means is that the Tzar could do the Shechita, the Kohanim would do the Kabbalah, and then they would hand the Dam back to the Tzar who had done the Shechita to hold it until a Kohen who is free would come to do the Zrika. That's all that it means. Something wrong with holding the Dam if you don't do the Halacha of the Dam. So basically, all it's saying is over there that the non-Kohanim that we were referring to, included the Zarim and the Levim, as it says, they were doing the Hefshet and so on. They were just Ovud Ma'asa Itztaba. They were shelves. They acted like a shelf. There's nothing wrong with a Tzar being a shelf. Anything any different than having a piece of wood be a shelf. So fine, so it was a piece of wood. But they did not move to bring the Dam closer to the Kohanim.